If it's happening in sports in Saskatchewan, we've got it covered. The all-new Sports Cage. Be part of the show. Call 936-6262 or toll-free 1-866-767-0620. On your radio at 620 CKRM and online at sportscage.com.
Welcome back, Saskatchewan, inside the Sports Cage on this Friday for Nelson Holmes. And, Bidzy, we talked about this earlier today. When you get a baseball legend rolling in the town, and then it's like, who is it? It's like Ernie Witt. In town for the Red Sox Supper tomorrow night at the Turvey Center. Sold out Red Sox Supper. Ernie Witt's going to come by the studio and have a chat. And I'm like, oh, all I remember is my dad, my late father, Walter. And he was a massive Blue Jay fan. My mom's a Blue Jay fan, still watches all the games in Saskatoon. My dad would sit on the couch and swear and yell at the Blue Jays. And then when things were good, you know, it was all good. But I'd be down in my room, and all of a sudden I'd hear these words come out of my father's mouth about the Blue Jays. And we're talking, you know, like early 80s and mid 80s. And I'm like, man, I wonder if Dad up top can see now who I'm standing beside. It's legend Ernie Witt is here, and I put it on social media. I'm like, I wonder if the Blue Jays ever heard my dad yelling at him from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, in the couch.
Oh, I don't know, but it was a lot of fun, and you know, it was the early years of the Blue Jays were a little rough,
yeah,
as you know,
yeah.
But during the mid 80s, we started to build and put together a pretty good team, and then we were very competitive from basically 84 on until they won the, you know, the World Series.
What do you remember about the day you found out you were going to Toronto from Boston?
You know what? I was happy in a way, because the guy that I was leaving and might have a chance to play was Carlton Fisk, who was catching with the Red Sox.
Yeah.
And it was like, this guy is a future Hall of Famer. If I stay here, I have no chance of playing. So, but I knew nothing about Toronto at that time. Mm-hmm. So again, it was a learning experience for me. But I was glad I had a great opportunity to go and put together a pretty good career.
What's the coldest game you remember playing in Toronto at Old Exhibition Stadium?
Oh my gosh, there were so many cold ones.
Wasn't that something, eh?
There were so many cold. But you know what? I felt worse for the fans.
No way.
Because the players, I mean, you get cold, you get out on that hard artificial surface, it's cold. But after you got three outs, you could come off, and we had heaters in the dugout.
Yeah.
So I just felt worse for the fans, especially ones sitting in those metal bleacher seats.
Mm-hmm. Wait, it's a 15-year career, Major League?
Yeah.
How are the knees? Because I've always wondered that about catchers for years, and, you know, that play. How are they?
They're terrible. Well, actually, I just got a new one last September. My left knee replaced, and I'm having my right one replaced this coming September. So I'll have new parts.
Ernie, I got to throw it to I got to do a little name drop as well, too. My mom is also listening right now and watches, still to this day, all the Blue Jays games. In fact, for good luck, my little sister, way back when, she had a pet rabbit. And my mom would bring in the rabbit from the hutch in the backyard, and she'd lay down like a towel or a blanket on her lap, and she would put the rabbit on her lap for good luck while she was watching the Blue Jays games, just so that she could make sure that gave you guys the best mojo or the best odds of winning. Of course, diehard Blue Jays fans all across this country. What was it like? We heard a little bit there when Barney was asking you about switching from exhibition, though, or playing an exhibition, and it was so cold. What was it like to make that switch then to go to that time, Sky Dome? Because, I mean, we all know that in our jobs, if we move to a shiny new office or something like that, that, you know, you're pretty excited about it. You're there for the first go-round of a shiny new office or a shiny new cubicle in some of our cases. What was it like to move into a great new place like that? Or when the Jays did move there, what did you think?
It was beautiful. I mean, it was, you know, going from Exhibition Stadium to a palace like the Rogers Center at the time. I mean, it was kind of funny because every game was sold out in the 89 season after June, whatever it was that it opened up in June. But it was a quiet crowd. And it was a quiet crowd because they were all looking at the surroundings and not paying attention to the baseball game. So, and it was amazing to sit there and look up and see the CN Tower and all the lights that were going on with that. So,
a hotel. And have you ever seen anything crazy in the hotel?
We saw a few things.
Yeah, no. And then I remember when that opened, Bidzy, like pretty young. I can't remember the year. And it was like people would go from Saskatchewan to the Sky Dome and they'd come back with a Hard Rock Cafe Sky Dome because there was a Hard Rock Cafe in there.
Yeah.
And it was like, ooh, big deal. No, but it was like next level when that place opened. And of course, the hotel, super funny. September 14th, 1987. What do you remember about that record-setting day?
The Baltimore pitchers had real good control that day because I hit the barrel of my bat three times.
And you guys set the record that still stands, 10 home runs in a game for the Blue Jays that day.
Yeah, it is. It still stands, which is kind of amazing because of a lot of the stadiums are a lot smaller now. And, you know, these guys are bigger and stronger and they hit the ball a long way. So I'm surprised that it's still standing. But as long as it is, we still have the bragging rights.
I was hoping you were going to say, you know what? We were playing guilty that day and it just everything came into place. Go ahead, Bids.
I was just going to say, talking about hitting him out of the yard, I mean, you had some pretty good pop in your bat, Ernie. For those that followed you and knew that you still had some, you knew you had some big years with some big numbers, you know, 17, 15, 19, 16, 19, 16 home runs per season there and a lot of those ones that I rattled off. But I want to talk about your batting stance because when I was younger playing baseball, this was something that me and my buddies would always do. We'd imitate guys' batting stances. We didn't do it necessarily in the game because, well, I mean, I didn't. I had a tough enough time. I was a catcher as well. I had a tough enough time just getting on base. I had a strong arm, but I wasn't much of a hitter. But we would always goof around and say, okay, you know, this guy or this guy or this guy. There were some really unique batting stances out there, and we always did you as well, too. Talk about your batting stance and why, how you came about to have that and how it stuck with you.
Well, it was, I don't know how I came up with the stance. It just felt good the way I did it. And, you know, a lot of times when I swung hard, I fell on my back knee, and people talked about that a lot. But, I was very fortunate that, you know, I was able to hit quite a few home runs. But I tell everyone this, is that I always stopped at 19 because if you hit 20, they expect you to hit 20 every year. But if you hit 19 and you come back and hit 13, you're still in that range of that. He still had a decent year. But if you hit 20 and you don't do it again, well, you had an off year.
You're a sandbagger on the golf course, aren't you?
No.
No. You massage that handicap. The national team,
love them.
Yeah, highlight for you. Was it Athens, fourth place finish?
Athens was fourth place finish in 04 in Greece, and it's just been growing every year and getting better. The players are getting better, and we're competing. We've competed a lot, and almost every tournament we go to, they know that when they're facing Canada, they're going to have a rough go of it. And it's been such a change for me because I'm doing something that I love. And the players that are playing on the team, they love it too. And they play with pride and passion.
Yeah.
It makes my job easy as a manager.
Were you a part of the team, the World Cup of Baseball with the Brawl in Phoenix?
I was.
Because we were down there for a hockey tournament, some buddies and I, and we were like, yeah, should we go to the game now? Should we go to the game now? And then everyone's like, did you see the highlights of what happened? That was Mexico?
It was right? Mexico, what, right?
Take us through that game quickly, if you can.
Well, again, in international baseball, they have some rules that are a little funky, and it's like, well, you want to continue to score runs because you can get eliminated even if you have the same record as the other team because of you didn't score enough runs. So everyone knows that going in is that you're not trying to embarrass the other team by adding on runs late in the game. I think the game was at like 7-2 in the eighth inning or something like that. And one of my hitters, I think it was Rene Tussani or Chris Robinson, one of the guys, they laid down the bunt. He got on base, and, you know, their pitcher, their third baseman, Mexico's third baseman, tells a young pitcher that was on the mound, drill the next guy, which was Tusani. And so he, you know, he tried to hit him, and, you know, the things just got carried away. And unfortunately, the manager for Mexico didn't relay the fact that you play every inning as the start of the new game. You know, that it doesn't matter what the score is, we have to play it, you know, so that you can prevent runs. And I think the rule stinks by scoring more runs, because it is. You know, you could be embarrassing the other team. And in pro ball, you really don't want to do that. You want to score runs, but again, there's a time that you go one base at a time and not try to add on.
It was epic. I still love watching the highlight. Baseball legend Ernie Witt joining us here in the Sports Cage. Bid you go ahead.
Ernie, we talked to you about your unique batting stance and the numbers you put up. As you mentioned, 19 home runs topped out the 1 year. Didn't want to get into 20, and it starts to be expected of you. I'm going to ask you now about your defensive side of things and being behind the plate. I always liked when I was catching to try to remember, you know, what guys did last time they were up, and oh man, he really chased the curveball, or he lines his stance is close to the plate, so let's maybe bust him inside, he won't be able to get the barrel of the bat on it. What were you like behind? Well, first question, did you enjoy that cerebral part of the game where you tried to outthink the batter or help the pitcher outthink the batter? And second part to that, were you a bit of a talker behind the plate? Like, were you like Tom Berenger in the movie Major League? Where I wonder what he thinks about the old number one. What were you like behind the plate? Did you love the cerebral part of it?
Well, the first part was I enjoyed calling, suggesting a game to our pitchers. I mean, we always had a game plan going into it, how we were going to proceed to pitch every hitter that we were going to face. At times you have to change this because that hitter makes an adjustment, so you as a defensive, the catcher and a pitcher, have to make adjustments back to him. So to me, that was a fun part, but it was a lot of studying and understanding what your pitcher was capable of doing, because you don't want to pitch him into trouble. You always want to keep him out of trouble. And had good rapport with my pitching staff. They trusted in what I was suggesting to them. And, you know, if a pitcher shook me off four times a game, that was a lot. So I took a lot of pride in that. And as far as talking, I guess I was in a publication saying I was one of the most talkative catchers in the league, and this was back in the mid-80s. So you always try to, you know, carry on a conversation, try to get the hitter off balance a little bit. And I've got a couple of stories I'm going to tell tomorrow night at the dinner that relates to those type of conversations that we have, just to try to throw the hitter off.
Was there one guy that you couldn't stand when he came up?
I can't. What was his name? He was always spitting. And it doesn't matter where the wind was blowing, he was constantly, you know, and it's like, hey, I'm back here, you know. I mean, give me a little courtesy.
You want some chin music, bud?
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, I was going to ask you, Ernie, talking about, you know, that as well as conversations and trying to get into people's kitchen a little bit, get them a little bit rattled. You know how it is when a pitcher, well, the game unfolds, maybe a guy gets plunked or a guy gets, you know, maybe gets a little chin music. Then next thing you know, the other team does the same thing, plunks the guy maybe. Well, next thing you know, bat drops, helmets off, starts. Did you ever find yourself in a situation, I can't remember, maybe there is one, I just don't recall, where you knew that guy was going to charge the mound, and then did you get involved? Did you try to tackle him, or were you out there at the mound as well? Do you have any of those melees that come to mind?
I will proudly say that not one hitter ever reached my pitcher. So I will say that.
Did you have a move? Did you ever, when he was running out, did you ever tackle anyone?
Or your naked chokehold?
I would always, you know, get in front of him and make sure that, you know, that's as far as he was going to go.
Quickly, favorite pitcher you ever caught for?
Favorite pitcher, right-handed pitcher, was probably Dave Steeb, the best pitcher that I ever caught. Left-handed was probably Jimmy Key. Now, take it another step farther. When I went to Atlanta, it was John Smoltz and Tommy Glavine. Again, two Hall of Famers.
Wow, wow. And then last question. I love asking this on my podcast. Your favorite road stadium that you loved playing in?
Favorite one was Tiger Stadium.
Yeah.
The reason for that...
You're from Detroit, aren't you?
I'm from Detroit. Yeah. I grew up a Tiger fan. I always thought that the Tigers were going to draft me. You know, and I was going to go and be a Tiger.
Yeah.
And of course, I was taken by the Red Sox, in which I never even knew a scout was looking at me from the Red Sox, but always loved going back there. Their general manager at one time said that, you know, they talked about me and success I was having at the big leagues. Guy says, well, I never thought he'd ever get past Double A. That's why we didn't draft him. So it just inspired me a little bit more. And then you have your family there. And so it was definitely Tiger Stadium.
Didn't they have a short, really short porch?
Very short porch. I mean, John Mayberry, who was from there, him and I were teammates with the Blue Jays. And he grew up in northwest Detroit, and I was on the east side of Detroit. Yeah. But we talked about it whenever we were flying into Detroit. We were like, okay, who's going to go in the upper tank first? You know, we always would walk out of there with at least one home run each over the series.
Ernie Witt, absolute baseball legend. Tomorrow night, he's speaking at the Regina Red Sox dinner at the Turvey Center, sold out. And people are going to hear some good stories, like I can tell.
Oh, I hope so. I hope I entertain them, and we'll have a lot of fun. Let's put it that way. We'll have a lot of fun.
I wish I was there, Ernie. And real quick before we go, I know you got to go, but my mom is listening. And as I mentioned, and Barney said his mom too, huge fan. My mom is listening right now. My mom and dad, huge Blue Jays fans. Any chance you could just a little shout out? Hello to Ray and Hope. They're watching, or listening, rather.
Hey, Ray and Hope. Just continue to pull for the Blue Jays.
There you go. Legendary. Hey, keeps giving. Ernie, thanks so much for hopping in today.
Thank you.
Have fun tomorrow night.
Absolutely will.
Right on. Time for a break. You are listening to the home of sports in Saskatchewan, the Sports Cage on 620 CKRM.